How is it going, everyone? It is once again me, Chewy, and I am one of the hosts of this horror podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, in which we, of course, take something from the horror genre, be it a movie, a show, a short story, etc., and talk about it and how it could relate to some of our own personal past experiences and also to other social issues. I want to take some time and ask you guys to please check out our Linktree page, in which you can check out our links to our social media accounts like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc., and in which you can also visit our EMBL store so you can buy some sweet, sweet swag for yourself. And without anything further ado, here is the discussion segment in which Mariah and I will talk about the 2022 film Abandoned. So stick around. Okay, Mariah, so we are now at the discussion segment for this movie. And if I'm not mistaken, you chose this one as well, right?
Yes, absolutely, I did.
So, had you watched this before?
No, never. I was really, really interested because it has Emma Roberts.
I had never seen her in anything, and I didn't know she was even related to Julia Roberts. And it turns out she's her niece.
Yes! Yeah, I think that's why I love, like, her beauty is as well. But I think that explains why. It's because Julia Roberts is her aunt.
It's in the family. I will say she is a pretty lady. Emma Roberts, that is. And when you told me about this movie, I kept confusing them. There's so many Emmas in the world. For a minute, I thought it was Emma Watson, who's the one from Harry Potter, right? And then and then I thought it was Emma Stone from Zombieland.
Oh, she's pretty too.
Yeah, she is. I just, when you told me about it, it's Emma Roberts, and I googled her, and I was like, this isn't Emma Roberts, and I kept confusing her with the other two Emmas that I know about, and it's like, okay, it's a different person altogether. So, first impressions about the movie, what did you think?
Okay, I will have to say my first impression, the first movie that came to mind, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but The Haunting in Connecticut Part 2.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what this was giving me immediately. That's like as soon as they were looking at the house and everything and as we go into it. But yeah, I was thinking, huh, that's weird.
That movie never made too much sense to me because it's called The Haunting in Connecticut and then it's Ghosts of Georgia. So it's like, it's
not... Yes! It doesn't make any sense because it's totally different.
Mm-hmm. It's nowhere near Connecticut, for that matter. So it should have never been called Haunting in Connecticut, but I digress. So actually for me, the movie that I got reminded of was Amityville Horror because of the flies.
Oh, that too. It definitely also reminded me of The Ring with the flies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well. There's, I don't know, anything with the fly is creepy.
Yeah, I hate flies. If I see one in my house, I'll hunt it and kill it until I get all of them. but yes, I think I was expecting a different kind of movie for this. And not that I was disappointed, but I was kind of taken aback a little bit because it's different from what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, you're like, I'm gonna choose this stuff now, Mariah.
So I think for the next couple movies, I'll be the one that chooses Ad.
Sounds cool.
just kidding. It's an interesting film for sure, but it's not what I thought it was going to be.
I was really expecting some type of gore, and there wasn't any.
No, so, there wasn't. It was more of a psychological thing.
It was psychological, which is another true horror, of course. But yeah, just a different take of spooky.
And I think, I guess as we talk about the movie, the plot, we're gonna talk about these things. But yeah, definitely a psychological movie. And I think a lot of the stuff that happens is just in her mind. But we'll get to that eventually, I think. Please remind me if I don't cover these things, but basically we meet a couple of maybe not newlyweds, but they look young-ish, maybe like in their late 20s, mid-20s, and they are named Sarah and Alex Davis. And you see them looking at a property in the country, which is kind of like a cliche thing, really. people moving away from the city because the city life is too busy, and so they move to the country. And, oh, by the way, they also have their little baby. It's Liam, I believe, is the baby's name. And this baby is infamous for crying.
As all babies are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you are not a fan of babies crying, you're not going to enjoy this movie very much, I don't think. But, so we meet the young family, and they're talking to the real estate agent about the house and the price, so on and so forth. And then eventually they get to the mystery that happens, because actually the movie opens with like a short little scene of, you don't see anything, but you do hear a lot of screaming. And then we fast forward 40 years in the future, and this is when the young people are moving into the house, the young couple. And the lady says, well, there's an incident, because Sarah asks her, how come this house has never been bought? It's such a good price and it's a good deal, but it's been listed for many years. And the lady's like, well, there was an incident and it wasn't that bad. I mean, just a couple of murder suicides, you know, nothing terrible. So what do you think when all of this was going on?
I didn't like the realtor at all. Her acting, I think, was very amateur-wise for some reason. It's like the beginning of a horrible horror movie. Like, that's what she's giving. And of course, everyone always thinks, like, it's a haunted house, there's a murder, there's a suicide that went on. Into a house, let's move in with the kids, and it's you know, after that it's gonna go bad.
Of course, yeah.
It's like, oh no, what did I get myself into? But I didn't really like her character at all. I don't know, I was really turned off right away when she was talking. I didn't like her.
So, did you specifically not like her character or her acting?
Acting, I would say it was more of it. It just felt like not enough experience to get the audience excited.
Okay,
I would say so. Yes, horrible acting, and there are some horrible acting, I have to say, throughout this film, and I was so disappointed that I made you watch it.
Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that apology. No, but you're fine though. You're fine. But I also didn't like the realtor, but I thought because she came across as really snooty, like really kind of conceited, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Like, oh yeah, you know, this house, kind of, she had like a really weird demeanor, a way of acting, and not acting like her performance, but just like her, the way that the character behaved. Although I will say that her acting was a little weird too, like as far as the performance. But I just didn't like her. She's like, okay, this lady's kind of annoying. And so she was like, well, I guess you're not going to buy the house after all, right? And Sarah's like, no, we'll buy it. It's a nice house and we've been looking for something like this. And the realtor's all surprised, like, oh my God, they're going to buy the house. So it's a big property. I mean, it's in the country, of course, and it's a big house, and they have a barn and everything, so it's basically a small farm, really. I don't think they got any animals in the deal, did they?
I think they do, yes. I remember seeing a pig.
I think that's when they go, because the guy is a doctor. He's a veterinarian. So he goes to other farms to talk to the farmers about their animals. Okay. So I think that might have been at a different farm.
That's probably what I saw.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not sure. I really can't remember. And I just watched this movie this morning. But yeah, there are some pigs involved in this at some point. But before that, though, they end up buying the house and they move in. And basically, well, what happened was there was this girl that lived in that house with her father and her brother. And we find out some really bad stuff about them, but that's gonna come later. And basically, we see the struggles of them as they're moving their stuff around, like basically bringing in their furniture, trying to decorate, stuff like that. And we see that the mom is having trouble with the child. And not to be judgmental here, of course, because I'm not a parent and I can't imagine how difficult that must be, first of all. But it seems like she hasn't really gotten the hang of it yet, if that makes sense. I don't know what you think about that.
Can agree. I mean, yeah, I would say I don't really know as well because I'm not a mom, but I have done babysitting and that is really hard. I was a teacher for for little babies at one point a few years ago, and I had to take care of a lot of babies and stuff and also teach them. And it's so overwhelming because a lot of babies just have different emotions. And as a mom, which I'm not, I only have Samara, my dog. So I don't really know if that's considered a mom, but as I would imagine as a new mom, you just have, I mean, you just delivered a baby. Like that's a huge thing. And then with everything that goes on with your baby constantly crying as a new mom. So I remember always seeing like new moms come in and drop off their babies, and they looked wiped, like they looked like they were ready for bedtime, and they looked almost like a zombie, I would say. And man, I just can't even imagine what that must feel like.
Yeah, I don't think I'm cut out to be a dad, to be honest. Because it looks like a lot of responsibility. I'm not sure that I'm ready for that. I don't know if I could handle that. So I guess it's a good thing that I never had kids, at least not until now. Because, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It looks like something that's very difficult. And we see that in the movie, of course, because this child won't stop crying. It will not stop crying, except maybe at random times when the dad's like playing with him. He seems to like his dad a lot more than he likes his mom, for sure. The baby, that is. So it even goes as far as showing that Sarah tries to breastfeed her child, and the child's like, no, I don't think so. Kind of like pushing her away, right? Kind of. And so they decide to use a bottle, which I'm thinking they got from her also. And so it's like her milk, but in a bottle, right? And the child seems to prefer that. And so we start seeing little signs that not everything is as picture perfect as you might think in this family, as is the case with every other family out there in the world, really. And we also find out that this guy's, of course, a veterinarian, and he's gonna be traveling to the neighboring farms to work, so he's gonna be gone most of the time. So that's gonna give the mom, Sarah, a lot more time to bond with her child. Or so we think. So, as they're exploring the house, they find this door that's locked. They can't open it, but of course he is a handyman, so he opens it with his tools, and they find what appears to be a girl's room, which was the girl that apparently was involved in that incident 40 years prior. And then this guy comes out of nowhere. Who does that?
I believe that one was that Chris.
Yeah.
I think it'd be Chris, right? And that was freaky. I thought at first he was living in the house and just came and said hello.
Like a
Hi.
squatter.
Yes. And I thought so that kind of freaked me out. I was like, whoa, what is he doing here? Does he live in the attic?
So picture that, Mariah. You're moving into a new home. You're like moving your furniture, you're decorating the room, trying to decide what's gonna go where. And then this guy, hey, what's up? How's it going? Just pops out of nowhere, like, who are you? Why are you here?
I would definitely, I got scared. And, you know, actually, sometimes when I'm doing dollhouse crafts, like, my neighbor will sometimes, like, pop in and say hi, and it's really creepy. So I have kind of experienced this in real life, and it's just freaky. It's freaky. I don't like it.
So your neighbor just opens your front door and walks in?
No! No! Like, I'll have the window open.
Oh, I see.
Yes, and he's so quiet. I can't even hear his footsteps. That's what's creepy.
Wow.
So I can imagine being her in the scene. Oh no, my neighbor, don't do that.
Well, my friend, if I could give you some advice, I'd say keep your doors locked at all times. Just in case. But yeah, this dude just comes out of nowhere. He's like, yeah, my name is Chris. Who are you guys? Whatever. So they introduce themselves to each other, and he says he lives next door. He's the neighbor. And Sarah opens, because the realtor gave her an envelope, right, with the stories, the police reports, everything.
So, I love that part.
So she finally opened it, so, because she hadn't before this. So you mentioned you love this. Why was that?
I even have to say anything with true crime documents is pretty cool when they bring it in a movie. That's like, I don't know. I think it's just the research part and also the history of the house, if it's haunted or anything. It's like, ooh, this is kind of cool. Even though it's really sad, it's yeah. So I do like that we get into that part to the scene.
I think I've asked you before, but you would be okay with moving into a house where something like this did happen, right?
Yes. Yes, I would be. I would definitely be okay. The house that I moved in right now that I have, my house, it was built in the 80s. So, I would say it definitely has a lot of spookiness to it, I'd say. Like when I first moved in, there was a rocking chair in the attic. No, not rocking chair. I'm sorry. Rocking horse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was so scary. I don't know if I left it up there, but it looked like a little girl's room in my attic, and it looked like it was from the 80s. And it's really creepy. I never go up there because I feel like that's really scary up there.
I would be just as freaked out as you are, actually.
I just want to put some dolls up there.
I think as soon as I had found that thing, I would have been, realtor, can you please cancel my contract? I'm moving out of here right now. Never mind. I don't want to do this anymore. So, I don't know about me. Like, I don't think I would be too okay with moving into a place like that. And it's just not that I'm worried about a haunting, really. But yes, kind of. I think I would also be kind of worried about people trying to come in and snoop around. Because if it's a place where something like this happened, sometimes people like to do quote-unquote research and visit places like this. And I am a very private person, and I would not like to see people walking in my front yard and knocking on my door. Hey, can we look around your house? Because we heard somebody died here. And, you know. But anyways, Sarah's going through the files about what happened, and she finds out the girl's name is Anna Solomon, and she lived there with her father. And I don't know if you caught this, but the girl in the picture looks very much like her, like Sarah.
Oh, I kind of saw a resemblance there. It definitely, Sarah, she has done, Emma Roberts, I guess, the actress, she has done this other show called Scream Queens, which is a horror show, and she's this very sorority girl, and it looks just like her in that picture from Scream Queens. So that was really interesting to see. But yeah, we see the picture, and I think there's like blood on the floor or something.
I don't know if I caught that.
Of Anna? Yeah, she has, oh, and there's a fly too.
Oh, yeah.
On her, above her lip, I think. And we see, it looks like a puddle of blood on the floor, and her head is right near the blood. So that was really cool to see. But yeah.
And so that's where the whole Amityville thing kicked in for me, because okay, it's like a place where a family was murdered, or a family was involved in murders. And then of course the flies. And the report says, among other things, that the girl Anna murdered her father and her own baby. So that's pretty tragic, as you mentioned earlier. And I think this is when she finds a ribbon or something, she finds a ribbon at some point in the movie. And I believe that belonged to this girl, to Anna. And then at some point she also finds a dress, and she tries to fix it because it's got a hole in it. So she starts to I guess sew it back together. And that's another thing that I want to ask you. Would you be okay, like, let's say if you found stuff that belonged to the previous homeowner, would you just take it and wear it like that?
It kind of depends, I think. I would probably want to wash it first. If it will look cute on me, I'll definitely try it on. And I do love the ribbon part. I just thought, I need a light pink ribbon like this, for sure. I just thought, I need this in my life.
I don't know if I could do that. Especially if I knew that these people were involved in the murder-suicide thing. I don't know how comfortable I'd be. Hey, this shirt looks cool. Let me just wear it.
It's like an AC/DC shirt.
Yeah.
That would be freaky.
I guess maybe like you, it depends on how cool it is. And I guess if it's clean, meaning that there's no blood on it, I would just wash it and wear it. But, oh man. Yeah, not something that I would want to do under most circumstances, I don't think. So then, as time's going on, we see that Sarah starts to hear noises in the house. Especially footsteps and kids laughing. And it's funny to me that she never mentions any of this to her husband. At all. So, why do you think that was?
I would say my first impression was maybe her husband wouldn't believe her. Or think she was crazy, because we of course do, I guess, get an idea that she is experiencing postpartum depression, which is right after you give birth and you are just going through a lot. So I'm thinking she also doesn't want to make him question her responsibilities as mom and stuff, or think she's not well or fit and mentally. So that's what I would probably not want to like tell someone if I like have a kid with them or something, and be like, oh no, I'm not gonna tell them that I'm hearing baby crying.
So do you think that if she hadn't been having those issues in the past that she would have told them?
Honestly, I mean, me, I don't think I would if it was me, because it does sound a little bizarre if I'm hearing, of course, a little girl laugh and hearing kids laugh or anything for that matter. I don't think I would want to tell my significant other, be like, hey, I'm hearing things. They'll probably think I'm crazy. So, but yeah, that's my input. Maybe she was probably thinking the same. Like, I'm not gonna sound too crazy.
So yeah, as you mentioned, she, like, some context clues are given to the point that she has been having issues with her mental health before this. And I do think that may have been the reason why she chose not to share that information with the husband. But even with that, she seems awfully composed. She doesn't really look like she's too freaked out about it in any way. So, I mean, I would think that me, for example, if I started hearing noises like I just heard right now in the house, I don't know what that was. I don't know if you heard it, but I heard it here.
Yes, I heard it. it's a little girl haunting you.
Yeah. Oh, that, it's my roommate ghost type of thing.
Oh, yes.
I have one of those, by the way, in case you're new to the podcast. I have a ghost roommate that every now and then makes their presence known. But anyways, yeah, she looks really... I don't want to say cool about it, but she looks like, okay, yeah, this is happening, but okay, whatever, kind of thing. And to me, that was kind of surprising. But I guess, yeah, you got to take into account the fact that she hasn't been having this struggle with her mental health. So maybe she doesn't want to appear as though she's having more difficulties. So the neighbor drops by again, randomly. he looks awfully comfortable just walking into the house at whenever he feels like coming in. And so they're talking about stuff, and she asks him, so what happened here? Like, what was the deal with the house? And Chris, the neighbor, tells her, yeah, the girl that lived here, she was kind of like being abused by her dad in the worst possible way, if you get my drift. So I don't want to be too graphic about it because it's a horrible thing. And so... he also tells her, though, that the girl had a brother, which was not in the police reports. The police reports only mentioned the girl, her baby, her own baby, and the father. But he was like, no, she had a brother. And Sarah asks him, how come he's not in the police reports in the investigation? And he tells her something to the effect of, well, they blamed him for the death of their mother. And nobody really paid any attention to him after that, so he was kind of ignored. And so he leaves because he looks uncomfortable. And stuff starts to happen in the house, more than just noises, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So for example, the baby's favorite pacifier, which is apparently the only thing in the world that stops him from crying, disappears. And then his father had bought him like a little toy car that also disappears. And then their wedding picture, which was hanging in the hallway, that also disappears out of nowhere. And they start having trouble as a couple, right? They start kind of like low-key arguing, not arguing outright, but the guy's like, well, stuff's happening here, so I don't know what's going on. It's not my fault. Kind of blaming her for stuff, in a way. So, do you think, at this point, or rather, did you think that this stuff was actually supernatural?
Yes, absolutely. The disappearing stuff and misplacing. Well, I think it already passed probably, but there was a scene that really freaked me out. And it was a scene where the husband, so Alex tells, and he tries to wake her up to get the baby fed and up and ready, and he was going to make breakfast. So then she goes to the to his crib and stuff, and he wasn't there. And then she hears a baby crying, and then she looks back and he's there. So that was freaky, I would say, because it's like, where was he for that little split second, or where were those seconds? Like, it's just, it's really unexplainable. And that part just gave me X-Files with the whole missing time. And and so, yeah, it made me question, like, a lot of things. Like, this stuff I don't know if it's mentally you're not like seeing thing, or you're seeing something that isn't there. I don't know. And then so that was freaky. I did not like that. That I would be freaked out if that was my baby. I was like, where's my baby? And then they're there in the same spot. So I don't know. It's really, that definitely gave me, of course, supernatural everything there. But I don't know. I didn't like that because I have definitely seen things in my life too that were very similar. And things just being somewhere else and not where I left it. So I don't like that whole playing games with ghosts.
Yeah, I don't think we covered that yet, but yeah, you're right. That scene with that baby kind of freaked me out a little bit. Like, whoa, like, that kind of took me by surprise because she heard the baby crying. She steps into the baby's room and the baby's out in the crib. So she freaks out for a minute, and then she turns back around and the baby's in the crib magically. So that was a little freaky. And also, I think her music box was being moved around quite a bit. She put it in, I think, this little workstation she was putting together, like a little desk. And then she would find it by the floor on the floor by the baby's crib in his room. So stuff's being moved around. And then at some point she also calls back the realtor lady, who makes, I think, her final appearance, thank God, in this film. And she asks her, so what's up? Like, the neighbor tells me that the girl had a brother. And the realtor lady's like, yeah, the brother is the neighbor. Chan, chan, chan. So basically she explains to Sarah that what happened was the baby was given into, I guess, an orphanage, maybe. And then when the baby got older, he came back to the house, but he couldn't buy it back because he didn't have any money. So he moved next door, which is, I guess, the next best thing he could do. And he would go back to the house and keep an eye on it before anybody bought it. But now that the house has owners, he can't do that anymore. But I guess he can because he just walks in whenever he feels like it, so... He doesn't care about them being there that much. So she also starts having visions or dreams of what happened in the house. She starts seeing the father, Robert, and she starts seeing the daughter, Anna. So all of this was definitely giving me supernatural vibes, for sure. Like, okay, she's seeing ghosts. But again, she didn't seem to be too freaked out about it. So, I guess without going into too much detail, Mariah, if I could ask you a question, like, if you would see a presence in a place that you were living in, how would you manage that, or how would you deal with that?
I have definitely, of course, have experienced very similar stuff. But I don't know. It's weird because you kind of get the sense of evil and good. So it's always the evil ones that were always scary, or let's say. Anything that was like a good presence nearby definitely made me comfortable and didn't make me feel scared at all. But I have actually, I remember there was this girl, she would always talk to me about this thing that she would always see. And I remember I started like having dreams, and then I would wake up in the middle of the night and like see this figure in the room with me. And it was about like 3 years ago when this happened, and I just knew it was bad. So It's scarier, I would say, when it's in jet black and you wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning and you see something there in the room with you. That, I don't like that. And I did feel very scared because I did feel this was a very scary, I won't say ghost, because I don't think it was a ghost. It was something stronger that was unexplainable. So when that happens, I just remember trying, like, sending, like, love and protection just for me. And then I think after I started doing that, like, every night, I stopped saying this thing. Then I would wake up in the middle of the night. So, but now, today, when, you know, of course, Megan wants to talk to me, which we're talking about Alexa.
Yeah.
So, the little app. So when Megan wants to talk to me, I always have a TV on now because it definitely makes me feel peaceful. So seeing, of course, Sarah with waking up and stuff, and also that too, it's like you can't really tell sometimes if it's sleep paralysis as well, like you're still in the dream, but it also feels like reality, so it's like, which one is it? So I don't know. And it's weird because, you know, we see these things that are actually real life things from pictures in the past, or like we've never seen before, and then we see a picture of them, and we're like, whoa, I've been seeing that thing, you know? So it's, that is unexplainable to me, and that's definitely spooky. It's like, why are they appearing to me? What is the reason? So, yeah.
Yeah, I think in the movie, it's because it's a new house, and then, of course, I guess she's, the impression that I had at this point in the movie was that she's sensitive to these things. So she's able to, I guess, see them and perceive them. But as far as myself, I can't ever say that I've seen a ghost, but I've felt stuff around me, if that makes sense. Usually in my dreams, I always kind of see stuff. And then I wake up and I can't move, so that's kind of like sleep paralysis, I guess. And I would have it every now and then, quite frequently, maybe like once or twice a month.
Whoa, and that's a long time.
Mm-hmm, yeah, like once, twice a month maybe, so once every few weeks, maybe twice in the same month. And then I stopped having these things for a long time, and then recently that kind of started happening again. And dreams, I have some dreams where I see stuff and it's weird. But usually when I wake up, I can't remember what I saw. So I do remember some things, but not everything. And I can say the last time that I had sleep paralysis was maybe about a month ago, 4 or 5 weeks. And I think I've mentioned that every now and then I watch my boss's house when they go out on business trips, whatever. They pay me to house it, basically, and feed their dogs. And the last time this happened was there at their place. And mind you, one of them already passed away, right? It's a married couple, right? Or it was, until one of them passed away. And I've been back to the house several times since that happened. And I had never really felt anything up until this last time that I was there about a month ago. And I was asleep in the guest room, whatever. And then I hear somebody walking down the hall. And I hear the door open.
Oh, no, you're just scaring me now. Oh. I'm like, oh my, this is good stuff right now.
Yeah, so I kind of heard someone walking in the hall. And when I'm in a different place, even when I'm at home by myself, I always keep the door to the room that I'm in locked. And so in this specific house, the guest room is, you have to go into this part of the house. You open the door, there's a hallway, and at the end of the hallway is the room. So I heard steps in the hall, and of course I put the lock on the door, but then I heard the door open. And I was like, that can't be right.
That can't be right.
And I heard somebody walking, and I don't know my bed size is right, but this bed's maybe like a queen size bed. I don't know. I can't say for sure the one that's in that room, but I kind of hear somebody just walking, and they kind of stand next to me, kind of like looking at me for a minute, and I can't move, mind you, because I'm paralyzed in my sleep. And then I kind of just feel them walking around to the other side of the bed and just kind of like sitting there for a minute. And then that's when I was able to move again. So I was like, whoa, what was that? And I'm sharing all that with you because it's kind of what happened to her in the movie. She kind of starts seeing stuff in the house. She seems awfully cool with it. I wasn't. I was freaking out. So I, of course, turn on all the lights and the TV. I sleep with the TV on, mind you. And turn the volume up and the lights. And it was like 3 in the morning and I couldn't sleep anymore. And I was like, okay. But, yeah. Compared to her, I don't think I could do that. I couldn't just keep my composure like that. If I ever saw anything. So, yeah, it's kind of weird. So, anyways. Stuff keeps happening in the house. She starts, or keeps seeing stuff, rather. And then it gets to the point that the guy, you see him driving around to the farms. And I don't really understand the point of this. But they show him talking to this guy, right? This farmer. And he's like, yeah, my pigs are sick, so you gotta kill them. And the guy, Alex, is like, I don't really want to, kind of thing. Even though it's my job, I don't really want to. And the guy's like, well, just do it. I'm paying you to do it, so you gotta do it. And that kind of makes him uneasy, I guess, Alex. So then when he goes back home and he sees that his wife is kind of having trouble adjusting to this new home, that's when you kind of start seeing their arguments escalate a little bit. And then he goes as far as saying, you know what, I call the doctor. Actually, that's a little bit later. Because what happens is, she wakes up in the middle of the night. The baby's crying. She goes to the baby's room. Picks him up. And then she starts hearing stuff again. So she sets the kid in the floor. Or on the floor, rather. And it looks like the kid's gonna fall the stairs for a minute. And then the guy, Alex, walks out of the room. He's like, oh my god. And he picks the baby up. And he locks her out of the room. So he takes the baby to the bedroom and just locks his wife out. And then that's when he says, well, you know what? I call the doctor because you're not doing too well out here right now. So, do you think he's doing this from a place of, like, he cares about her, or he's kind of just like, whoa, what am I getting myself into here?
I think it's a mix between both, because of course you can totally tell right away that he is trying to get her some type of help, because he's noticing, like, this is not normal, or I don't know, as a mom, what is this? So I think he's coming from a place of love, but still a bit spooked out, because I mean, this is also his baby too. So but I'm really glad that he did call the doctor, of course, but at the same time I felt like he could have been a little bit more sensitive with what she's feeling, or ask was there anything that he can do? So
yeah, because he didn't really ask her if she thought it was okay for him to do that, right? He kind of just did it on his own. And I think he does come from a place of, you know what, I care about my wife, I love her, but this is getting a little bit too out of hand for me. So I don't know what is the quote-unquote right thing to do. Do you tell them that, hey, do you want me to call the doctor? Because a lot of times they're going to say, no, I'm fine. Even though they're clearly not fine. And that would have probably cost another argument. But I still kind of think that, I don't know if it's the right thing to do or not in a case like that. And I can't speak for that because, of course, I'm not married. But it must have been a difficult decision for him regardless, I think. So the next morning, the doctor shows up. And he, like the realtor, looks really snooty and judgmental.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you caught that, but basically he's trying to tell her or ask her, so what's going on? They call me because it seems like things are going on with you. You're having trouble adjusting. Because at this point, it's when they, of course, make it clear that she's had therapy in the past. Because we've seen her when she's feeling stressed out. She's got these rubber bands on her wrist. And she kind of flicks it every now and then. And that is, I guess, her mechanism to make that anxiety go down. I studied psychology in college. I keep saying that, but it's true. I did. I did. I'm not an expert, mind you, because I didn't go any further than a bachelor's degree. But I did read articles about things like these when someone goes to therapy or something like this, anxiety, depression, stuff like that. The therapist does look for something that can make that patient become a little bit more comfortable. For some people, it's counting. For some people, it's taking deep breaths. I mean, it depends on each separate case, right? So I guess in Sarah's case, they figured out that, hey, just wear this rubber band. And whenever you're stressed out, just kind of flick it a couple times. And that seems to work for her, for the most part. But this is where I got what I think the movie was about, Mariah, really. I don't know about you. But let me tell you what I thought that was, for a couple minutes here. And then I'll ask you if you agree or not. So basically, they're talking, Sarah and the doctor. And he pretty much decides, you know what, I'm going to put you on these pills because you need them. Without really asking her too many questions. Without really asking her if she thought it was okay. I mean, mind you, again, it's kind of a, like, if I ask her, they're going to say they don't need them kind of thing. But it seemed to me like he made a judgment call real quick on this. And this is when she kind of has a little, not a breakdown, but I would call it a breakthrough. Because she says something to the fact that, like, you know what? I'm not feeling the way people say I was going to feel. As far as me being a mother. Like, I don't feel like this child is mine. I don't feel connected to him. I don't feel close to him. I feel like he's not even my kid. And she even admits to saying that she's embarrassed and she's guilty. Or she feels guilty about it because she's like, I should feel like this child is the most important thing for me in the world, and it's not. So, what is your take on all that stuff?
I just thought that was really intense, of course. And I always hear about stuff like that, about how it's always, like, sometimes a lot of women, stories, I always hear that a lot of women, some of them experience like a really great pregnancy, and then when the baby comes, it's super stressful. And then also, of course, she isn't bonding because of, well, that was like an earlier issue about the breastfeeding. So that I have seen women on TV talk about, and they're crying like crazy because they say the baby doesn't want to be breastfed and they don't feel connected to their baby. And they feel so ashamed that maybe the baby just doesn't like them. And so I can kind of put myself in that, like in that scenario, thinking, oh no, like this is not good. What can I do? But, and then also I've always heard like different things that they have a terrible pregnancy and then right afterwards they're so happy. And then I have seen women in real life go through postpartum depression. That is a really scary thing, because they're so disconnected from everything, I feel like, and emotionally it's draining. So I don't know if that's probably one of like, I guess, the feelings that she's feeling. Of course, with the postpartum depression, the baby not wanting to be breastfed, and all of that. So it's just like a mumble of things that can definitely, I think, make her feel like she's not doing enough. And also too, I did get the feeling that she doesn't feel alive. Like there's something that, I don't know if it was the house or anything, but I did feel a sense of like there was no life in her when she's talking to the doctor. So that to me also kind of made me thought about like maybe the ghost or something. But yeah, it was really interesting to see, because she just seems so out of it. And usually I'm super out of it when I have like a full day and I'm like, I don't want to cook dinner. I'd rather just go to sleep. And I usually do. And I know that's really bad. But yeah, it's hard. Like, it's definitely hard. I can imagine just... Ugh.
Of course, these things are real. There's a lot of women that go through this kind of thing. And just depression in general, that's also a very real thing. So I kind of want to take a minute here and kind of just mention that it's difficult for people to go through stuff like that enough as it is, and then for people to judge them and even in some cases make fun of them for something like this, that just makes it a lot more difficult for them to go through this. And that is why a lot of people, I think, don't mention these things to anyone, or they hold it all in, they hold it back, and that's gonna cause more damage in the long run. So these things are real. It's important that we, if someone that we know that we care about in our family or a friend or a significant other is going through something like this in the sense that they need medical assistance, then I think we should be supportive in whatever we have to and whatever capacity we can, really. So that's what I think the movie's about, really. It's not, well, I guess we'll talk about the ending here in a minute, but I think it became clear to me that this movie was not so much about supernatural stuff as I thought it was in the beginning. Because the doctor is trying to force her to take this medication, right? And she's like, no, because that's the only thing... Sorry, because if I take medications, I won't be able to breastfeed my child. And that's the only thing that I feel connects me to him for a few minutes every now and then. So then, of course, the neighbor, creepy neighbor, comes back again and says, because... The husband asked the doctor, you know what, you can't leave my wife alone with a kid because weird stuff's happening right now. So then the neighbor's like, no, it's okay, you can leave, I'll take care of them, I'll watch them. And so they have a conversation again, Sarah and the neighbor, Chris.
in which he, of course, admits that he is Anna's brother and that he wants a chance to stay close to his childhood home. So they kind of have like a little heart-to-heart moment type of thing. And he also tells her that there were more babies. There were 3 babies in this situation, not just the one that was talked about in the police reports. And then he tells her, well, don't move that wardrobe because there's something back there. So he leaves because, again, he gets, I guess, uncomfortable about all this. And at night, the husband is giving the kid a bath. And she tells him, hey, do you guys mind if I join in? I took my medication, which she didn't because she... I think she threw it in the drain, right?
Yeah.
So she threw it in the drain. And, oh, yeah, and also, this happens before, but I don't think we mentioned this. She threw away her breast milk because she thought it was spoiled. And you even see little maggots in the milk for a minute there. Uh-huh. Which is not cool. I don't like milk to begin with, mind you.
You're like, ew.
Yeah, let alone milk with maggots. Ugh, no. I mean milk in general, mind you. I don't drink milk at all. I never have. I never liked it. As far back as I can remember. But yeah, just watching that scene with the maggots, I was like, ugh. Especially with the way that I've been feeling the past couple of days. I'm like, nope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nope.
Like Oscar.
Yeah, I feel like I might have to go to the bathroom for. But anyways, too much details, too much information. So, yeah, the father's giving the kid a bath. And she's like, okay, you know what? I took my medication. It's fine. Let me just hang out with you guys for a minute. Then the phone rings and Alex is, someone just called me that their cows are having a baby calf, whatever, so I gotta go check up on that. And she tells him, yeah, it's fine, don't worry. We're gonna be okay. And she has more visions of the father, Robert. And this time, he actually attacks her. He actually tries to choke her. And he puts her underwater. So what is your take on all that?
I automatically thought about the sleep paralysis thing. And I have, of course, have had I don't want to say like similar situation, but I, with the sleep paralysis, the very first one I ever had in my life, I did feel choking, like someone choking me. And thinking that was the end of it. Like I was never gonna wake up and I was just gonna die. So this was scary. And especially like, you know, she was just taking a bath with her baby and stuff. And it was really, really creepy. I did not like that. I just thought about my first time having sleep paralysis and that choking. Such an horrible feeling.
I think I might have mentioned this in other episodes, but I can't swim.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I can't swim. And this all comes from a trauma experience that I had when I was a kid. That my mom signed me up for this summer camp type of thing. And not that we went into an actual campsite and stayed there, mind you. It was like my mom would drive me every day to this gym, whatever, this facility. And they would have us do stuff like swimming and basketball, volleyball, stuff like that. When it came time to the swimming, I've always been kind of scared of water, mind you. And they had these ropes. They had this pool, right? Like it's like a, I don't want to call it an Olympic size pool because it wasn't that big, but it was a pool, a swimming pool. And they had these ropes tied like from one end of the pool to the other. And basically you could just grab onto those, but you had to kind of swim your way across, right? And it was my turn, and I was like, nope, I can't move. Nope, not gonna happen. And this guy grabs my head and puts me underwater. Like, he forces me underwater. And at this point, mind you, I'm like 7 or 8 years old. So I'm like kind of going through a moment here, like, you know what, I can't swim. And this guy's, oh, you're not gonna swim? You are gonna swim, little kid. And he grabs my head and just kind of dunks me under the water. And I thought I was gonna die. Because I don't even know how long I was underwater. Maybe like a few seconds, a couple minutes, I don't know how long it was, but I was terrified. I told my mom, you know what, this guy's trying to kill me. he's crazy, he's a psycho. So, of course, my mom gave him a piece of her mind, and then I never went back to those things ever again.
That sounds very traumatic. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I can't even imagine.
Yes, so...
such horrible people.
So as it is, I was scared of water, and now I'm even more scared of water. That's why I never learned to swim, because of that douche tried to kill me. So to this day, I'm almost 40 years old, and I can't swim. But that is what this scene reminded me of this traumatic experience that I had about 30 years ago. Good times. So then, after she gets out of the water, because she comes back to her senses, Sarah, that is, in the movie, she goes to this bedroom, and she sees that the wardrobe is open, and it's like a doorway to a different room, different part of the house. And she sees that all the things that have been taken from the house are in there, in that little room. And then you see, to me, this is the weirdest part about the movie. Because you see two little boys who are maybe, I want to say like 10, 12 years old. And one of them is holding the little baby, Sarah's baby. And so she basically asks him, kind of have the baby back. They're like, no, he's ours. And Sarah's like, no, he's my baby, I need him back. And they tell her, no, you've been hurting him, and he can't be with you anymore because you're mean to him. And then she kind of breaks down and says, no, but I didn't mean to hurt him. He's mine, like, I love him. And then you see one of the little kids pick up an axe, and he's going to swing it at her face or something, and then it just cuts to black. So when you saw this, Mariah, what do you think? Do you think she was actually going to die?
I was, that's what I was expecting at first. Seeing this scene, I thought, oh, this is probably where the gore is going to come in, but it didn't. But that's fine. But yeah, that was the freakiest, other than the baby disappearing from the crib, like, this one was the weirdest part of the movie. It's just weird. I didn't really understand the concept, and also the kids too, they kept saying that she was hurting her baby Liam, and I just thought, well, you know, from a child's perspective, maybe they just had some very strong feelings when they watched her, of course, leave Liam unattended for a few times. So maybe they just thought, you know, you're not really taking care of him. You're not really. So I can kind of see that as like a child's perspective, just thinking she's the worst. But I don't understand the hatchet. I don't understand why they make it seem like she has been abusing Liam at one point. Yeah, and then how they just came out of the wall. Just like, what? And that was freaky. I can't even imagine when I saw that little rocking horse.
Oh, yeah.
And just, like, seeing, like, a little girl come out from, play the, with from it. The back or playing with it. Yeah. That sounded crazy to me. But it was freaky seeing the kids come out of the wall like that. Because you see them coming towards her with the baby. So that was weird to see.
So have you ever seen the movie The Boy?
Yes. Oh, I love that movie. I know a lot of people don't like it, but that's okay. I love that movie.
That's kind of what the scene reminded me of, just kids living in the walls behind the house. But yeah, so we see that whole scene take place, right? And then you see the kid pick up the axe, and it looks like he's gonna hit her with it, with the sharp end, mind you.
Scary.
And then the next scene kind of threw me for a curve there, because it's morning, it's all sunny and shiny and butterflies and Bambi kind of thing.
Bambi, I love that.
Because she kind of wakes up in the room, right? And then she takes the baby downstairs, and then the father comes back from the late night cowbirth session. And she has, like, this continental breakfast for him, like all the pancakes, bacon, eggs that he wants. It's all there ready for him. And she tells him, yeah, I made your breakfast and it's all over. Don't worry about it. So then they put on a record. They start dancing. And then in like a split second, I guess like 5 years go by, because Liam is now walking around. He's like a bigger kid. He's talking too. And you see the neighbor, Chris, kind of just creeping on them.
Creepily in the background.
With a baseball in his hand. He's kind of like tossing a baseball in his own hands, like, so I guess he wants to like play catch with the kid or something. I don't know. I thought that was kind of creepy. So, oh, creepy Chris is gonna creep. So then they're swinging on this, I guess, swing, mind you. Excuse my repetition there, but they're swinging on the swing. And the last scene that you see is Sarah holding her belly, because it looks like she's pregnant again. And she kind of gives like a weird look to the horizon, kind of like, So let me ask you, when you saw this last scene, did you think that she was like dying and kind of seeing heaven?
No. Oh, but I can understand that concept because of the hatchet. So that's a different way to look at it, though, I think. I didn't even think about that. I just thought, I did not think about that at all, actually.
See, because that's what I thought. I thought that she was kind of just looking at heaven as she was dying in the attic with those two little boys next to her, just looking at her. That kind of speaks to the kind of person that I am, I guess. I kind of expected at some point to kind of reveal like a twist ending. Like, oh, she thinks she's gonna live happily ever after, but no, she's just dying in the attic, bleeding to death from a wound in her head from that axe. So I actually did expect for that to happen, actually. I'm not kidding. I thought that the final shot of the movie was going to be her kind of just on the floor, like, dying. But it wasn't. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, mind you. But that's the movie, pretty much. That's all the scenes, all the plot. And so let me ask you, do you still think that the things she saw were supernatural?
Yes. 100%. I definitely agree that yes, they were all supernatural.
So all the visions of the father, the little girl, the little boys, everything was supernatural.
Yes.
I would have thought that too. But when I saw the happy ending, I kind of went in a little different direction. Have you seen The Babadook?
No, Everyone keeps telling me to watch it.
Okay, I'm not gonna spoil it for you.
Okay.
But I kind of got a feeling similar to that when I watched that movie. And basically what I think is, or what I think happened in this movie, is that all the things she was seeing, everything that was happening, was just more symptoms of her depression, like her condition. I would say, Mariah, that I don't think what happened was supernatural. I think it was just her mind trying to adjust to a new place. And her dealing with this whole postpartum depression thing. And I think when she finally saw that she could hurt her child, not that she had been doing it, but I think not that she was going to physically hurt the child, like as far as doing something to him, but maybe not feel like she was going to care for him in the way she should have, if that makes sense. I think that was what the boys were about. Like, it was just her own mind, her subconscious, I guess, kind of telling her, no, you're hurting the child. You're gonna, and that to me means that not like physically hitting the child or doing like any harm to him, but psychologically hurt him. If she kept having these things, these episodes. So I think in the end, she kind of just realizes, okay, you know what? Like, I need to get over this, get through this, and, you know, whatever. I don't know. I guess I'm just a nerd. So, is there anything, Mara, you might want to add to the discussion before we move on to the scores?
No.
So, this is going to be a tough movie to score, I think.
Yes, I agree. This one is probably one of the worst horror movies. It's not a really horror movie. It's more psychological. And of course, I think in a way it is really educational, especially for new moms or people who have gone through, of course, like the postpartum depression. This is really good. I guess your take on the ending, like, hey, you know, do go to the lengths that you can, at least try to, so that way, you know, I guess intentionally hurting the baby and stuff. That was really good. I do like that, because I do feel that is, in a way, educational to put your baby first above everything else when it comes to, you know, something like this. Even that's pretty hard, especially when you're going through a lot of things and a husband and a home and a ghost.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just like a lot of stuff. But seriously, I thought it was that part I did like. And I do like your take on that too, point of view.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Mariah. I'm not saying that I'm right, mind you, because, I mean, I'm just giving my point of view there, but I think it depends on everyone. I think you, for example, think it's supernatural, and I can see that too. I can see why that is a possibility also, because she's the only one seeing these things, and stuff is being moved around the house, stuff like that, so. But, I mean, when it comes to depression, stuff like that, there are times where some people report that they kind of don't remember doing certain things. So it's possible she might have been moving the stuff around herself. But, I mean, that's kind of getting into a little bit deeper territory there. But I guess back to the scores. I mean, I don't know. How many... What should we do here for the units? How many creepy neighbors?
Oh, yeah. How many Chris's? I have one of those.
So how many creepy Chris's that are going to creep out of 10? For this movie?
Well, for this movie, I'm gonna give it a 3.
Okay. And why was that?
Of course, I know this is, I don't even know why. I mean, I picked it honestly because of Emma Roberts. And I do see that, of course, it is educational with stuff that many people do go through and stuff, and I just felt it ended on a sunshine thing there, because it's saying, like, you know, you will see the sunshine again and you will see your baby laugh again. And that's really beautiful to me to present hope when everything else feels horrible. So I did love that very, very much. I feel like a lot of people do lack hope in a lot of times. And it was really beautiful to see that. So I did love that part, but everything else, all the actors were so terrible. I love Emma Roberts, but I don't feel like this was the right movie for her, because I know she's done incredible work with other horror projects that she's done, but this one, I just don't think it was meant for her.
See, and it's funny you mentioned that, because she was one of the producers, so she made this movie.
That blows my mind. Hearing that, it's kind of like, I don't want to get like too crazy, but it's kind of like Rob Zombie and his wife, like, him wanting her in like in every horror movie.
Oh yeah.
He does. So, and then there's like some movies that I don't think his wife should have, like, I feel like she may have not been. You know, it would probably been a little bit better to have, like, other women having a chance at that role. So I do feel with this one, maybe there should have probably been another person for this role. For Emma Roberts' role. But I don't know. I mean, I love seeing her. So wasn't disappointed with that part. But throughout the entire movie, I don't know. It wasn't spooky. The ghosts were really weird. I was like, what is this? Wasted 2 hours of my life.
Kind of. That's the feeling that I got. But
I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. It's still a better movie than Midsommar, I think.
Oh, by far. Yes, I agree.
As anyone who's been following this podcast for the past several years at. I don't like Midsommar, but anyways, that's my opinion. You can love that movie you want, but I don't. but in all seriousness, though, I think that I am going to give this movie the same score you did, a 3. And that's because of, one, her performance. I think she was the best actor in this film out of everyone. I think she's the one who did the best. That might not be saying much, but I think out of all the cast, she was the one who performed the best, I think. And then the psychological part of it got me thinking back to my college days as far as the possible psychological interpretations of these things. And I do think that they, in a way, want to bring attention to these things, like I was talking about earlier, with the mental health type of thing. So I'll give them points for that too. But that's it. 3 out of 10 creepy Chris's that are gonna creep. Now, who or what is the villain here? Is there a villain to this movie?
I would definitely probably say Robert, which was the dad.
The dad? Sure.
Yes. So I feel like maybe, I don't know.
So how many skulls do you give him?
10.
10?
He's a terrible person. So yeah, definitely a 10. And I'm thinking maybe because of, I don't know, it is really a sad thing what happens. And so I was thinking too about, and also I guess Sarah's character, you know, reading about the story and all that, can you imagine just all that information on top of everything else that she's going through? I would imagine that would have been really sad for her to read about. So I don't know if that may have added to everything else that she was experiencing, but I can imagine just feeling so down about that.
Yeah, definitely. I am gonna agree with you in the sense that Robert is a horrible person and he does deserve a million skulls if we could give him for what he did to his own daughter. But I'm not sure that I want to call him the villain for this film. But he's the only one really that, I mean, unless you call the depression the villain. But I don't know if I want to do that either. So, I mean, yeah, going with Robert, yeah, he gets maximum skulls for this. But if I was going to talk about the depression being the villain in this, I would give it a 7. So it's kind of a weird movie to score in that sense, isn't it?
Definitely.
Uh-huh. So Mariah, is there anything else you might want to add before we close off today's episode?
I think that's all.
Alright, cool. So, having said that, that was our episode on the 2020 film Abandoned, which, sadly, I can't say that I recommend to anyone to watch.
Please really. Don't watch it, anyone.
I mean, if you got a couple hours to kill and you want to watch
just have background noise.
a psychological, psychological drama type of thing. Then, maybe, but I would say there are better movies than this to watch when it comes to that. The Babadook being one of them. I would compare that movie to this one, or rather, this movie to that one. I think they were trying to go for a similar thing, because it's a similar concept. It's different enough that it's not a ripoff, but it's also similar enough that I could say, yeah, they were inspired by the Babadook for sure, I think. But yeah, I mean, if you like the Babadook, you might think you like this. I don't think you'd be right. but if you want to, go for it. I mean, other than that, I'd say, nah, skip it. Not good. Sorry about Emma Roberts. She seems like a good actress, but this movie was not something that I see myself revisiting anytime ever again.
I'm so sorry.
But I still think it's better than Midsommar, so there you go.
Yay.
I think I get Midsommar like a 1 or a 2 or something like that, and this one gets a 3, so. And if I didn't, then I revise my score and I give it a 1 or a 0. Midsommar, that is. So I want to remind everyone out there to please check out our Linktree page, which is linktree.com/mythsbehindlgds, in which you can find our social media links, so our Facebook, Instagram, Facebook, etc. I think I mentioned Facebook twice, so it's okay. And by all means, if you're listening to a service that allows you to score the podcast, give us the top score, because we are cool like that, Mariah, right?
Absolutely.
So having said that, then I want to ask you guys to stay away from creepy Chris's that are going to creep. Don't lock your doors. Don't let your neighbors just walk in whenever they feel like it. Unless you're okay with that, then by all means, but I wouldn't. And until we see you on the next one, have a good one.